for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
I am Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. In our daily lives, we often run into situations, necessities really, well, that are just a pain in the you-know-what. And we think of ourselves, how can someone come up with a solution to make, frankly, my life easier? In this particular instance, I'm talking about my contacts. Now, I know those of you who watch the video see me wearing glasses, and yes, I do wear them. However, in this situation, they are reading glasses I'm wearing over my contacts. So you ask, what pisses me off? Frankly, it's remembering to reorder those contacts when I run out. It's having to drive over to my doctor's that's frankly a little distance away and taking time out of my day so I can look my best. So who out there is going to help me? I need to know, who's going to help me? Well, of course, my guest. Today at the cafe, I have Brianna Rue and Jennifer Tabazzi, two practicing optometrists and the founders of Dr. Contact Lens, who came up with a solution to solve my pain and to help optometrists use their program to realize a boatload of additional revenue. Brianna and Jen, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you guys on. So before we get things going, why don't Jennifer, or you guys pick, tell us a little bit about Dr. Contact Lens, and then talk a little bit about yourselves and how the program works.
Sure. Well, firstly, I'm glad you wear contacts so you understand this big pain so many people are feeling.
I do feel the pain, trust me.
You know, the long and short of it is I started running a practice, and I was sort of surprised that I didn't have the tools to easily sell contacts to my patients. I am considered a millennial. I shop online. I buy things on Amazon, and I really wanted to give my patients a similar experience. So I just called Bree one day, and I said, would you like to build a site that, you know, integrates with medical records? It's very seamless. It's easy for patients to order from. And she's like, sure. Yeah. And we thought maybe like a couple weeks later we'd have our product. So, we didn't, it took 3.5 years to build the platform. But essentially what we did was this: for patients, we wanted to eliminate the barriers to ordering, which is data entry, getting a copy of your prescription, ordering on time, all the things you go through, all the hoops you have to jump through to get your contacts. And the way we eliminated that was a site that connects with your medical record from your doctor's office, so you don't have to enter any data. For the doctors, it's an easy way for them to sell to their patients, reorder reminders are sent out, and how you can also capture your walking prescriptions. We found that most people just want to leave our offices because they want control. They have this perception online is less expensive. It's not really true. And they don't realize by taking their business elsewhere that their favorite optometrist is suffering and may have to close their doors one day. So we wanted everyone to win. We wanted the patient to win and the doctor to win. And so the platform goes two ways. It works great for the patient. The staff doesn't have to do much for it to operate, and the doctor makes the revenue on the sales. And that's pretty much our business in a nutshell. And, you know, we implemented in our practices last year, and it's been really great.
Oh, that's
I'll let Bree. Yeah, but go ahead.
I was going to say, that sounds wonderful. Now, for the listeners, I mean, you are, as I said, two practicing optometrists. You're not software programmers. I mean, so really this came out of a need that you saw in your own businesses, and then you took steps to frankly implement it and create this solution.
Yeah, so like Jen had said, so we went to school together. So we graduated school, we both bought into existing practices, and we're going through the same trials and tribulations. So we had weekly conversations about how we could improve our practices. One thing that did come up time and time again was this contact lens ordering process in our offices. So that's when Jen called me, and obviously we said, yeah, let's build this. You know, we'll have it done in 3 to 4 weeks, no big deal. And 3.5 years later, now we understand that programming and development and all the APIs and GUIs and all this terminology that we had no idea in the tech industry. Now we're building this tech company, which helps patients order their contacts and keeps doctors in the loop. So we've learned a lot, and it's been an exciting path, an exciting road. And coming from the doctor's perspective, we had no idea what we were getting into.
Well, so I think it was Jennifer's comment about, you thought a couple weeks later you'd be up and running. And, so many.
You're never up and running, really, when you're a tech company.
No, it's.
But I think we were accidental tech entrepreneurs. We didn't really know what we were trying to do. I think naively as consumers, you think tech is something that you can just upload into your computer. You don't realize it's like building a house. And this house is going to be very unique, and that you need someone to build it, a programmer to build it who understands all the features you need inside the house. That's the best way to explain it. And we didn't even know what house we were building when we started. So we were really kind of shooting in the dark with our programming. And so were the programmers. To be honest, it wasn't an easy road. It never is. But we hired many sophisticated engineers who couldn't put it together the way that we had envisioned it. And luckily, we did finally meet the right team to really build it for us. It's still an ongoing process, even though we have a great product. There is so much that goes into it all the time. And the programming is probably still going to go on for years, to be quite honest, with all the things we want to do. But yeah, it was quite a learning curve.
Yeah. So, you're, as you mentioned, you bought into a practice. You're still working in both of your practices, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So again, this is a business show. So for my listeners thinking about your journey, what advice would you give them if they're here listening today and they like you think I have a solution to a problem? What advice could you give them that you picked up over the last 3 years?
Well, some advice is, I think there's a reason that you don't know the future. So just start. We started with this idea, and that's half the battle, is getting started. And I really think the valuable team that Jen and I have is, you can have this big idea, but if you don't have somebody that's along the ride with you, Jen and I, when Jen's up, I'm down. When I'm up, Jen's down. And so really that co-founder mentality, I think, is incredible. I think it's really what's kept us going. I mean, we had a really hard crash and burn about 2 years ago, where a development team just really gave us nothing. And we spent a lot of money. At that time, we could have just said, you know what? We gave it our all. Let's walk away from this. But we didn't. We brushed ourselves off and we stood back up. And here we are with a launched product 2 years later and with some sales and growth and revenue. And I think that's the best advice. You've got to have a core group of people that there's going to be haters out there. Brush them off. Keep pushing forward. Nothing is easy and nothing worth doing is easy. But having that found partner that you can cry to and cheer with and, get each other excited, I think has been really the tipping point for us.
When you guys were putting this together, I'm a big believer in planning. So did you sit down and do a business plan or a strategic plan before you kind of took the step into implementation, or did you, like so many other entrepreneurs, and I've been there before, just say, hey, I got a great idea, I'm going to run with it?
Combination of both. I remember the first year we would make grand plans for the future, and we couldn't even see one step ahead, let alone 20. So we stopped doing that. I think what's really worked for us in this stage of our startup is kind of like 4 week sprints of work we need to do, and we get that done. We have ultimate goals, but with tech, you can't get too ahead of yourself because you're building something. You don't know how it's going to function. You don't know how the product is going to fit in the market. You've got to always pivot. You've always got to be ready. It's like the plan gets scrapped constantly, is how I would put it. We've had funding, not funding. We wanted to do VC rounds. We didn't do VC rounds. So, and every point of your business, things are changing. So it's honestly the real world in startup world is just very, it's kind of chaotic. It's, mm-hmm. it's, there's something new every day you have to deal with. So, you know, business plans are important. I think you have to know ultimately where you're going. But you know, the real day to day and the planning is honestly just a few weeks at a time. And we found that to be the most successful for us.
Sure. I'm chuckling over here because you're using words like sprints and scrums, and you know, those are high tech terminology for a couple eye doctors. But you mentioned something, and it's always an interesting journey for an entrepreneur is where do they get their money? So I know through part of our conversation, some of this is sales funded, but you've also taken the steps to look for outside capital. So what kind of recommendations or experience have you had in thinking about, you know, getting some outside investors in the company?
So I kind of go back to a Shark Tank pitch that we had when we were looking for the distributor that was going to help us with our product. We rehearsed this pitch probably 2 days straight, went in and, you know, had these big CEO, CFO, all their company on the table, and we nailed the pitch and they were like, all right, you have access to our platform, go run. And that's when really the rubber met the road. And so we've been self-funded, and Jen and I work incredibly hard in our practices and have dumped everything that we've done back into Dr. Contact Lens. Fortunately, we also have my husband, who's been able to help us tremendously. So we're not big spenders and have just really put everything that we have into this to make the idea come to life. As far as looking for funding, we're doing a little friends and family raise right now and understanding what value caps are and the 20, you know, discounts on money. And fortunately, we've got some rich friends and family that have been interested in our product. Now that we are past the MVP, they're now interested. So we're in that early stage of funding right now. And fortunately, Bank of Josh is still open. My husband. So we're just working as hard as we can in our offices to keep this going.
Sure. I helped one of my sons start a apparel company a few years back, and his partners and I got the dads together and we became the Bank of Dad.
I like Bank of Dad.
Yeah, exactly. So in this process, I always find that there's something that really helps propel the organization. So, I mean, think about your strategy. I mean, what has been that kind of thing that really helped propel this? I mean, was it about the partnerships, about the relationship you have with one of your vendors? I mean, what is that one thing that has really moved the needle for you?
So I think we both have an answer for this, but I think the one thing that's really propelled us forward is that we are insiders. We both have private practices. We know how hard it is to change a staff member's behavior. We know how hard it is to change a patient's behavior. So with all of our connections in the industry, which have now propelled us forward, getting that meeting with our distributor, now we're getting on podcasts and just kind of getting recognized in the community as these leaders and entrepreneurs and being women also in tech and doctors, it's really opened some doors for us. So, and then again, it comes back to that partnership that Jen and I have. Again, we bounce ideas off and we've built this company bi-coastal. So I'm in Fort Lauderdale, Jen's in Miami. It's been a lot of early mornings for Jen's.
You meant Los Angeles.
Oh, sorry. What did I say?
Oh, did you move?
Sorry. See, we're together right now, which is fun. But she's in LA. I'm in Fort Lauderdale. And so a lot of early mornings for her, a lot of late nights for me. So there's been a lot of sacrifices there as far as getting this moving and getting this going.
Mm-hmm. Now, and I don't think there's any one big thing that propels you forward. It's just a movement of all things at all times.
Persistence and passion.
You can't ever stop. You know, you just have to, there hasn't been one magical thing that, like, you know, made us successful by any means.
Okay. I've been in some pitches before with entrepreneurs pitching at potential investors. And one of the questions that I see asked is, are you 100% in, or are you doing something else at the same time? So you guys are juggling being practitioners and then also building a tech company. So how do you balance that? What kind of investment of time have you done, and have you, how do you see that changing? I know we chatted briefly, I think last night, and you know, you're on a road show, going to a lot of trade shows and things like that. So how do you balance all of this and for your time and investment in Dr. Contact Lens?
Well, you don't really have much of a life, so let's start with that. So there's less to balance. There you go. No, I mean, really, it's all of our free time. So we have a personal life, of course, but it's a smaller portion of our life pie right now. I wouldn't say we get a lot of leisure time or a lot of time to do what we want. We are filling all of our days of the week. So, you know, most people are not maximizing their schedule. They're not working 7 days a week. We do. So that's how we make it work. We couldn't fund it if we weren't working, which is kind of why we're about 50-50. I think, you know, things will change. If we ever took capital funding, I'm sure they would say, oh, are you in 100%? But the benefit of us being in the offices is so huge for our product that it probably is a worthwhile trade-off for us to be there a little bit, because we're constantly seeing the feedback from staff and patients, and we want a successful product. We don't want a product that we bring to market that we think is great, but no one's using it. Right. You know, and the only way we can know that is from hearing every day what's happening in the offices and being inside the product like that.
Okay. You're at a trade show right now, I think, getting ready to probably go down to the floor.
Yeah, we're about to hit the floor here in a half an hour.
So when you sign up a doctor, how much do you put into two questions? One, to help them market your product. And then what have you been doing to market yourselves?
We have a few different ways that we help them implement. We train their staff. We teach their staff how to kind of brand Dr. Contact Lens into their office. We send them some, you know, infographics for them to give out to their patient base. We put it on our website. But really, as a physician, the best tool for promotion is in the exam chair. So when you're in the exam chair and you mention things and then you get the reinforcement of your staff mentioning things, then it becomes something of a product of recommendation. And patients really, you know, they go to private practice because they value that doctor and they want to, you know, they take their advice and they want to do what they recommend. So we find that to be the most successful.
And then Jen is fabulous at social media. So she's really built up a following there. We're really engaged in a lot of Facebook groups, a lot of LinkedIn things going on there. Coming back to like that work-life balance, you know, people come home and they sit in front of a TV for 3 to 4 hours. We don't do that anymore. That's work time for us. Mm-hmm. So we're both juggling family life and being practitioners, being doctors, giving the most to our practices that we can. So our staff is on board. And I think that's motivational for our staff too, on seeing how hard we're working to bring this to life. It's really, again, surrounding yourself with amazing people, because it's not an easy journey. And, you know, there are a lot of ups and crashes and ups again.
The road to growth is not a straight one. So there's a lot of twists and turns. I ask some standard questions of all my guests, and I want to ask both of you individually. And this is about you. What is the best business advice you've ever given and or received? And, whoever wants to go first.
The best business advice I've received, I think it was just get started and to find your niche. So I always remember in school, people were like, find your niche, find your niche, find your niche. It took a while for me to resonate with that and to really find that. I also was taught to plant seeds, just plant seeds wherever you can and nurture those. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day and a tree isn't, you know, doesn't grow in a week. And so when you plant these little seeds, and I think that's what we're seeing right now, is we've planted so many seeds all over the industry, and now they're starting to sprout, and now we're starting to water them, and we're starting to see them grow. So I think that's probably my best advice. I was, you know, a member of BNI for 7 years. I got Jen into that, and you just start planting seeds and you start seeing them come to life. So that's really, we're in that phase of growth right now, which is super exciting.
Okay. Jen?
I think the best advice I sort of learned along the way is just simply having a lot of patience when you know you're doing the work. I think we all get a little, you know, we want that instant satisfaction. And it is sort of what Brianna was just saying, Rome wasn't built in a day. Patience is such an important part of the process, because if you lose that, then you kind of lose sight of the bigger picture that you're building. So every small decision and every small impact you make every day, it will snowball and add up. But the patience is the key, because you're supposed to enjoy the journey as well. It's not just to reach the ultimate destination of a $50 million valuation and then you cash out and say goodbye. I mean, everyone wants that payday, but you know, it's supposed to be fun in the process, and you're building something and you get to use your creative bones, which is really what I think most humans are meant to do in some capacity. And you know, it's patience. Okay. It's so important.
All right.
So, and we're not talking patience that we see.
I know.
We're talking
patience.
Because we both have both types here, Jeff.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm going to go back to Brianna. So this is the next question. When it comes to growing Dr. Contact Lens, what keeps you up at night?
Honestly, I'm a really good sleeper. Yeah. So not a lot is going to rattle me at night. I think we're in that phase right now where we have this product. It's getting that yes. It's learning how to close. You know, being a doctor, we've never been on that side of a sales floor before. Now that we are, that's honestly what keeps me up at night, is how do we get the yes? How do we make the doctors understand that we've built this incredible solution and that it honestly is a no-brainer? And what's preventing them from, I guess, trusting the product or trusting the product, the process? So I think that's what's keeping me up at night right now.
Jen?
You know, like Brianna, I think we've created sort of a way of running our businesses where we are in a flow state. We're not anxious. We're not overly worried or panicked a lot, which is great. The one thing that does often affect us, and I think this is anyone in any business from small to large, is just managing people and your expectations of them, and, you know, you always have to create this sort of team and transparency and have this vision for the people you work with. And when things don't go as planned with people, for me is the hardest part, because it is the most important part of your business are the people. I mean, it's not even the product. If you don't have a team of people that you work well with and understand you and you understand them, and you guys all see the vision together, I think keeping that aligned and keeping everyone in there becomes your job as a co-founder of any kind of company. So it's hard, and it's a learning process. It's not something that comes natural, because there's so many different personality types, and they all bring something to the table, but you have to learn how to work with them and get the results that you're looking for.
Okay.
So for me, that's been the biggest thing, the biggest challenge, I would say.
Okay. I think I've got time for one last question. So give me a success story. So you're signing customers, driving some revenue. So give me an example of one of your prospects that turned into a customer and the success that they've had.
So we signed up one of our first accounts, and we turned on her reorders, and she's like, okay, we're ready to go. So it's Friday at 4:30 p.m. My programmers are 2 hours ahead of that, 3 hours ahead of that. So I'm like, oh gosh, I hope this works. So we click on the button, all of her emails load for a list of like 600 patients. And I was like, all right, let's click this button. Let's see what happens. And she clicked the button, and within 4 minutes, she had 10 orders come in.
Wow.
And I don't know who was more excited, if it was her or me or calling Jen. But that was really a testament to what our vision was and that it worked at 4:30 p.m. on a Friday afternoon, was just that culmination. And I think we come back to that feeling a lot. And that's really fueled us to propel ourselves forward.
Oh, that's fantastic. Congratulations. I know it's been growing ever since. And I'm sure I can imagine pushing that button and the panic going, oh, my God, please let this work. All right. I think we're down to the last few minutes. So let's go ahead and take some time, and both of you can do this. Tell the listeners where they can reach you guys and the website for Dr. Contact Lens and all that good stuff.
So we can be reached a couple of places. So the website is Dr. Contact Lens. It's drcontactlens.com. So we've got a patient-facing site, a doctor-facing site, because they are a little bit different. We have a Facebook page, same Dr. Contact Lens. We have an Instagram page. We're both on LinkedIn. So I'm Brianna Rue, R-H-U-E, and then Jennifer Tabiza is also on all of those sites. We're pretty easy to get a hold of. You want to add anything? Because you're our marketing person.
No, yeah, you can reach out on any platform. We are looking at them 24/7. We don't even sleep, just waiting for your messages.
There you go. Well, hopefully we'll get some messages going for you. And again, if you out there, listeners, are in this space or you want to go to your optometrist and let them know about Dr. Contact Lens, I encourage you to do that. I've seen the program. It's very exciting. And as I opened up this show, it's going to make my life easier, and I want to make your life easier too.
I know. So, go tell your doctor, Angelo.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go talk to him. I think he's on a different system, but I know you're working on
it. Okay. Anyone can use it.
Yeah. Anyone can use it now. Fantastic. All right. I want to thank you guys. I really appreciate you being here. Yeah. And thank all of you for listening us and joining us at the cafe today. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, or view my show videos, or sign up to receive future information at theponzigroup.com, or certainly connect with me on LinkedIn. And if your business is ready for growth and you need a CMO, but you're not quite ready for a full-time person yet, connect with me. I'd welcome the opportunity to explore the benefits of using a fractional CMO. And lastly, please subscribe to this show, or if you're already a subscriber, encourage others to join so they can benefit from the great content that we have and you heard today here at thebusinessgrowthcafe.com. You can subscribe to the show on any major podcast platform. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.